Thanks for downloading the Overdrive podcast. Do not forget to follow us on Instagram at TSN1050, where there will be Insta stories, some best of clips from the show, and some very cool contest opportunities to win tickets and more. Again, on Instagram at TSN1050.
This is the home of Jerry's percentages.
When Jerry loves a woman, can't keep his mind on nothing else. He'd lock out his league for the good thing he's found.
This is Overdrive on TSN 1050, the official voice of the Leafs.
I am very impressed with myself to start the 5 p.m. hour.
I am too, after you getting burgundied.
I got burgundied on the last traffic read.
Go ahead and read it.
It was brought to you by Lexus and... The two guys behind the glass, they burgundied me. Like, yeah. I was reading the teleprompter.
They're claiming they cut and pasted it from a different one.
Yeah, I love the explanation.
Yeah, I know.
How did that make any sense?
Listen to this.
All right, time now for a News Talk 1010 traffic update. Brought to you by Lexus. Lease a 2018 Lexus RX350 for as low as 2.9%.
Very good percent.
APR with delivery credits up to $1,000. This is where it gets dicey. This is where I got burgundied. Visit your local Lexus dealer traffic for details.
I'm Ron Burgundy?
Who put that on the teleprompter? Like, I'm going to read.
Nobody knows.
I'm going to read whatever they hand me.
A phantom ghost cut and paste that, and it ended up. Moles is actually nodding his head like that actually happened.
I cut and pasted it. That's what I'm saying.
So you're telling me the word traffic.
So that one word traffic got squeezed in between the other two words.
When I was cutting and pasting and formatting, I copy and pasted that by accident. That's my fault. What do you want me to say?
But the word traffic, how did you cut and paste that individual word?
Because there's multiple traffic reads for today, so I was doing them all at the same time.
But what is a Lexus dealer traffic? What is that?
It's obviously not part of the read. I get that. What do you want me to say here?
Just say, yeah, you burgundied me.
I just said that. I did it. What do you want me to say other than that?
Okay, fine.
I've already said that twice.
Well, don't slide in any swear words or my career's going to be over.
No promises.
Yeah, please. Just relax back there. All right, so anyway, I'm Burgundy.
San Diego.
Go F yourself. I'm Brian Hayes with Jonah Siegel from The Athletic.
Do you have that?
Jeff O'Neill.
And I'm Ron Burgundy. Go F yourself, San Diego.
The next one's coming up in about 15, 20 minutes.
So
well,
we'll
if there's
see
a swear
what we
word,
can do.
That'll be the end of it for me. We just played the When Jerry Loves a Woman. Did you hear that yesterday? We played that. Did you hear Jerry's?
No.
You didn't hear that, huh?
Or was that the game?
I know, but it's on social media, and
I don't really check that stuff when I'm working.
Do you follow the Instagram account, at TSN1050?
I don't have Instagram.
You're not on Instagram?
No.
Do you follow at HayesTSN, my Instagram account?
Well, if I don't have Instagram, how would I follow your account?
That was a selfish plug. That's what that basically was.
What do you post on there?
I don't really post anything, but our Twitter and Instagram account, they post stuff from like behind the scenes and best of clips and all that kind of stuff. And I was thinking about Jerry earlier this morning. We're going to catch up with Gord Miller, who's over there in South Korea at 5:30. Jerry's winning the NHL versus IOC battle early into this tournament because Team Canada played their first game this morning and they won 5-1 over Switzerland. I don't think there's any buzz for this without the NHL players. I really don't. Like, I'm sorry.
There's the patriotic element to it where it's like, get away, boys, you're Canadians. But other than that.
No, I don't think the tournament is long enough to create a story. You know what I mean? Like, we're waiting for that great story that's going to come out of this.
And, Brian, a lot of these things are happening while we're sleeping.
Well, that's a part of it. Now, the game this morning started at 7:10. I caught some of it this morning. I had it on. But I just don't have the same passion for it, the same vigor, the must-see TV. Like, if the NHLers were there and Canada was playing Switzerland today at 7 a.m., I would have been up at 6:30 watching the game live. 100%. I can do that. 6:30, I'm up at that point anyway with a two-year-old at home. I'm happily going downstairs and taking over the TV.
So do you think this gives the NHL leverage the next time they want to consider going?
I think it does.
But wait, no. Who is it giving them leverage against?
Against the IOC, who by all accounts, they don't negotiate properly. They don't pay for things. They don't give them access to things. The NHL's gripe, which never gets brought up because we easily hate on Bettman and the owners, but not enough by the fans. It's not acknowledged enough, is that in the past, it's their players who are creating the most buzz at the IOC and at the Olympics. They don't have access to highlights. They don't have access to their own players to interview. Yep. At times, like the IOC is like, you can't come on the into the village and interview your players. And I can understand where the NHL is like, let me get this straight. I'm going to shut down my league. My employees are going to go over there and I can't send my guy from .com to interview him. And they wouldn't allow it. And they wouldn't insure all the time and pay all the prices. And I think early into the tournament, and a lot of it is based on the time zone difference, which was always going to be applicable here. But Bettman and the owners are probably thinking, I can't wait for the IOC to come crawling back and saying, we need Sid, we need Ovi, we need these guys. We need you in this tournament. Because it's not the same. Rene Bork and Wojtek Volski, those guys.
Well, you don't think
not gonna
television people are going to say, hey.
Well, no kidding.
Enough's enough here.
CBC and NBC would be dying for them to get over there. Dying for them to get over.
Anyway, back to the Stroman anger, how I said other people from other organizations come in. Who they just signed, the left-handed pitcher?
Jaime Garcia.
How much?
$8 million.
So this guy has never stepped foot in Toronto before, and he wheels in and signs for more than you, and he's their fifth starter, and you're their ace, and you're thinking to yourself, how is this possibly happening? But, like I said, the other nonsense, no thanks.
But that's business, though, right? Jaime Garcia is a free agent.
I get it, but it drives you nuts. I remember when I was younger, I was thinking to myself, there was a defenseman on our team, his name was Adam Burt. He just made $1 million. I'm thinking to myself, I'm not playing for anything less than Adam Burt. He makes $1 million. I'm better. I'm more of a factor for our team. But my contract jammed me up. I made like $800, $850, $900, $550. So you get a 10% qualifying offer. It's $610 next year.
So you went down. You went from like $900 to $550.
$800, $850, $900, $550. Wow. Who would ever agree on that contract?
Yeah, that's a bad deal.
No kidding.
You burgundied yourself with that
but
contract.
At 19 years old, I could make it work.
Well, but that's what is difficult, and I can understand it. And this applies to every profession. When I broke into radio, I was like, I want to get paid
The worst part about the contract was I was offered the same one the year before, and my agent said, nope, not good enough. Go back to junior. I went back to junior, and then I just said, yeah, I'll sign the same contract.
Well, the league is going to, that's what the CBA is there for, to protect them against kids coming up who haven't proven themselves. And let's be honest, Marcus Stroman had a great year last year. He hasn't won any Cy Youngs. You know, he just hit 200 innings, and it was a massive accomplishment. He was their best player. It was a brutal year last year. He was the bright spot on the team. He was. And I believe in his talents. I believe the Blue Jays believe in his talents. But the way the arbitration works, it's simply business. They roll in there and they're trying to save some money. The owners want them to save some money. And I think in a way, by Stroman losing this arbitration case, he can use it to feed the narrative that he loves, that he perpetuates constantly, that it's him against the world. He needs an adversary. He needs someone to go against. Like, he needs it.
Who would he go against if not?
Well, he'd create the media is against him or the fans. And he said that. Like, he'll use Twitter. Some fans that hate on me, I don't even care anymore. I don't listen.
Why isn't the competition against the opposition more than enough to fuel your fire? Just going out there and pitching against the New York Yankees,
Didn't you have, like, any teammates who need to be, like, mad to play really well? Remember Alexei Ponikarovsky? I remember someone, I can't remember which coach would say it, that he was really good when he was ticked off.
How often was that?
Not very often.
Exactly. He's the nicest guy you'll ever meet.
Yeah, and that's why he had a decent career, but, like, there were points where you could see, like, all this extra ability.
He had the same nickname as Nick Foles.
All right. We know what the nickname is.
He had it.
Okay. Well, as for this actually being legit and genuine, it's where I'm having a difficult time believing it. Like, it's getting exhausting, the amount of constant griping from Stroman about how everyone's against him and everyone's chipping away at that chip on his shoulder, where I just don't think there's enough evidence there to believe that. He went in the first round. He was a first-round pick. You know, he was on the mound for starting day opening day a couple of years ago.
But maybe this is the only way he can get the best out of himself. You know what I mean? Like, you need to create this fire, like, that you're raging against something, and maybe that's how he performed.
That's fine, but then keep it behind closed doors from a social media standpoint.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, if it's true that he's going to take whatever Ross Atkins and Shapiro said in that arbitration case and never forget it, and he's going to grow from it, and he's going to use it as inspiration, that's cool. But why go on Twitter and promote that? Why allow people to be like, oh, here we go, now we got problems between the front office and their best pitcher?
Well, do you think this guy would have gone on social media had it existed?
Oh?
That stuff happened?
I don't know. 20 years ago?
You think so?
15 years ago?
I kind of think when I was walking out of there, I had steam coming out of my ears.
You would have been like taking your phone out and been like...
But like I said, back to the message I got where I was contradicting myself, I understand you can be upset about it, but I was more talking about Stroman. This guy
the
just
constant
got awarded,
show. Yeah,
the
yeah,
constant
yeah.
show, and this guy just got awarded 6.5. But I do understand the element of not being happy about... Is that contradicting myself? I don't even know. I understand going to arbitration is not that cool, but you're walking out with six and a half sheets.
And if you keep
But the idea that the team made you do it is kind of irritating. But this guy, this is a whole different level for this guy. I'm talking about big picture, the everyday stuff. That's the irritating element. Arbitration, nobody wants that.
Yeah, because it gets personal. As much as we say it's only business, and it is a part of the business, it's Marcus Stroman they're talking about. The Blue Jays are going in there and making their case as to why they shouldn't pay him what he thinks he's worth. And they're using whatever his deficiencies are against him. That's literally what's happening.
And then hours later, they pay a guy for their fifth starter $8 million. That would just drive him nuts.
Right. And Jaime Garcia is not coming off a very good year. He's been in the league for a long time. But
and he gets eight.
Inflated numbers. And he got eight with a team option for 2019. So he's getting more money. He's getting more commitment. He's going to be the fifth starter. He's a depth guy. There's no guarantee he's even going to stay in that spot. If you're the fifth starter, there's no guarantee you're going to be in that spot all the way through September. Now, this more than likely moves Joe Biagini into the bullpen. Doesn't sound as if Gibbons is that excited with the idea of him starting in AAA. So Biagini probably becomes a kind of middle relief guy. I don't know what's going to happen with him. He may end up getting some starts at some point this year. But anyway.
Is Griff gassing us?
No, Griff's coming up later now. He's got to join us in the 6 p.m. hour. Gord Miller coming up from South Korea around 5:30. So the Leafs coming off a win last night. They gave up 57 shots.
Oof, that's a lot, man.
We haven't even talked about Freddie Anderson at all. That seems to be the story of his Toronto career. Like, he just... People can't quite wrap their hands around him. Do you know what
it's
I mean?
It's like people are like, you get like scolded if you say, well, he should be in the Vezina conver. Even if you say conversation, oh, I don't know about that. What else does the guy have to do?
He's number one, I still believe, in save percentage since like the end of October.
Hey, Vasilevsky most likely will win it if he continues to do what he's done down the stretch. But this guy should be talked about. It's okay to talk about it.
Well, the arbitration case that he could make for being nominated is stronger than, I think, anybody else around him based on 57 shots being given up. Boston doesn't do that. Tuukka Rask has been great, but Boston is maybe the best defensive team in the league or real close to it. You look at they don't give up anything. Nothing. Their possession numbers are off the charts.
Nice. Get that in there.
They are, though, right? Like,
dude, what are you talking about? You never talked about possession or stats or anything, and then all of a sudden you teamed up with your buddy, and now you're
what
so
you
horny for
about?
Stats.
I don't think
you never did them before, ever.
Not true.
Yeah. Well, anyway,
I
the
can
point
send
being,
you my stories from back in the day.
Vasilevsky, great year, really good team, really good numbers. Tuukka Rask, great year, really good team, really good numbers. Same thing with Hellebuck, same thing with Pekka Rinne, but. Winnipeg, Nashville, Boston, Tampa are all better defensively than the Maple Leafs. And I can't imagine those four guys have had to bail out their team the amount of times Freddie Anderson has this year. And I do think attrition counts for something. The amount of games he's played, the amount of rubber he's faced, is off the charts compared to everyone else in the league. And last night, again, he gave up three, so you might look at it and be like, well, it's three goals, and the goals against average is he stopped 54 shots. Like, they won not because of Nazem Kadri getting 5 points last night. Like, even with 5 points, they could have lost 7-6 last
night
if Freddie's average.
A couple of goals they did give up. There was a yard sale where they're just parting of the sea. And
the Korpisalo was not good, especially early. Like, that Dominic Moore goal.
Well, you saw Torts on the bench. He basically, he let Bobrovsky know, one more and you're going in because I can't watch this anymore. And he probably should have done it. Because he basically told Bob he was having a laugh on the bench, and he went over there and said, hello, you're probably going in here. And it never ultimately panned out.
What's funny is they got rid of Curtis McElhinney, who's been really good. I got to give it to Curtis McElhinney.
There you go, Jonas.
I was wrong.
Well, listen, his track record was what it was. Yeah. The trepidation when they picked him up was totally acceptable. I think everyone understood that and probably faced the same dilemma. Like, what is this guy really going to give them? But he's been really, really good for them as a backup.
Well, and that's the other thing about Freddie is he's playing tons. Like, he's on pace for almost 70 starts. He leads the league in shots, and he leads the league in starts and games. And
that's got to stop. Like, I know it's going
it's
to
not
this
going
weekend.
To.
I think it has to. That's the next conversation, because I personally moved on, and I moved on a while ago, but now it's, like, official. I don't care what any other team in their division is doing. I am resigned to the fact that they're starting on the road in game one. I don't know who they're going to play.
Why can't they catch, get home ice?
Well, they could, but yeah. Boston is three up with four games in hand. And the Leafs have 23 games left. Like, there's not a ton of games left, and I don't think Boston or Tampa are going to really slow down.
Yeah, but Boston's due for some sort of dip.
But so are the Leafs. The Leafs have won 9 of 10.
True.
Right? So if you're going to say that the Bruins are bound to slip, let's be honest, the Leafs are going to lose some games.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so the Leafs are going to come back to reality a little bit here. It's not an impossibility, but I would suggest making sure you avoid injuries or wearing down Freddie Anderson. That's the priority, not home ice. Home ice is further down the list of priorities for me in terms of comparing it to the health and the status of Freddie Anderson. Because if you've got a broken down Freddie Anderson, it doesn't matter if you play all seven games at home. If he doesn't play well, you're losing. Like, he's proven he's their MVP. He's got to continue this, if not elevate his play in the playoffs, if they want to do some damage.
I agree. He is their MVP, though. He's been dynamite almost every time he's in there. Coming off another bad October, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
brutal October.
If he had a normal October, he would probably be the best leader.
They would say one or the other. Freddie Anderson and Vasilevsky or Tuukka Rask.
But why do you think he doesn't get, like, when Cujo
Some
was here...
Some guys are just slow starters, man.
No. I'm not asking that. Like, when Curtis Joseph was here, he was like a star. Like, people loved him. And it's like, Freddie, like, they can acknowledge that he's played really well, but you know what I mean? Like, he's not like... I don't feel like he's been embraced yet.
I think you're looking at, like, a Toronto area kid with the name, the catchy name, the Cujo, and...
And playoffs.
And playoffs, and you get the European soft-spoken goaltender who was acquired from another city, and it just doesn't have the same sex appeal to it.
Yeah, I think that last point's important, too. Cujo chose the Leafs. He signed as a free agent. So that, like, people love that kind of stuff. He wanted to come here, and he wanted to be a part of this, the turnaround to get them back in the playoffs, and... They had immediate success. They went to the conference final in 99, and he was the MVP of that team as well. And you also had a scenario where, you know, Sundin was here, but it's Freddie showed up. His first day was Matthews' first day, and effectively Marner and Nylander's first day. He didn't get the same attention, you know. He came in when Babcock was rolling into his second year, and Babcock is still a guy who takes up a lot of the oxygen and a lot of the conversation in the city. But with more and more success and playoff success, he'll get there. Like, I think he's there's no haters. Like, if you're a Leaf fan, you can't hate on Freddie Anderson. You know what I mean? There's no debate. It's like, remember Reimer, there was a debate.
Hey, for Freddie
some people
Anderson,
loved him, some people hated him.
This guy probably, deep down when he finishes his career, he might look back and say, I'm glad it didn't grow into this monster of expectation where if there's a little bit of dip and then all of a sudden it's a gong show.
Well, it could have gone off the rails again, like you said. Like, remember how bad it was, not just this October, but the previous October? He signs that big contract.
Oh, yeah. He comes in. God awful in the month of October.
And it could have gone. Remember how much like Mike Babcock kept talking about him? He's my guy. He's good. Imagine that goes sideways and like it's Komisarek or it's Beauchemin or whoever.
And it could have easily happened.
Yeah. So.
Well, playoff success changes a lot of things. Although he played really well in the playoffs a year ago.
Yeah.
But in order to hit Potvin, Belfour, Cujo status, they all played in conference finals for the Leafs. That's kind of what you got to do. You got to get there to be in the exact same category as those three. And I think he's getting there, though. I think he's been spectacular for him. But with 23 games left, I'd play him 15 times.
I think they only have four or five back-to-backs left.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Get McElhinney in. Like I would have last week when he came out of that game against... Which game did he
leave? When he got hurt.
Anaheim,
yeah, and they
it?
Brought him back the next start.
And he played against Nashville, and he played really, really well. But I would have sat him there. What did you need to play him there for?
Yeah, I agree with that.
Like, do not... You can't run this guy out 70 times and expect him to take you on a long playoff run. At some point, the wheels are going to fall off. So I would be looking at McElhinney a lot down the stretch. Home ice would be ideal.
I think they just have to weigh where they're going to finish, what's playing for, what's to play for here. And then just go from there.
Well, and I guess maybe the message sending to the team that you're shutting down the season by playing your backup that much more. Maybe Babcock is reluctant to do that because he doesn't want that to permeate the group in terms of a mentality and keep them hungry and motivated. But he's playing a lot, and he's seeing a lot of pucks. And at some point, I think you should slow that down a little bit leading up to the playoffs. All right, we'll head over to South Korea, catch up with our good buddy Gord Miller, get his take on the buzz over there without the NHL players in attendance and his take on Canada-U.S. last night. Canada beating the U.S. 2-1, and we know where the women's side is going. I mean, they're going to meet each other next Wednesday night. I think it's an 11 o'clock or 11:30 game, gold medal. We know what's coming. We know where it's going, and that rivalry is spectacular, and it got chippy last night. So we'll get into that game as well. Overdrive continues on the TSN Go app. All right, Richard Griffin will join us from the Star just after 6 on the Marcus Stroman arbitration case, the tweets that were up and now they're gone, and Jaime Garcia signed by the Blue Jays as well. So he'll be the fifth starter.
It's Jamie.
You're going with Jamie Garcia? Okay. You go with that, I'll go with Jaime. I like that name, Jaime. We need more Jaimes around here. I support this signing specifically because of his name, Jaime Garcia. And Bob McKenzie in studio in the 6 p.m. hour. So Team Canada got their tournament started this morning, beating Switzerland 5-1. The women's tournament is officially underway as well. And Canada beat the States 2-1 last night. That was a great game. And we all know where that's going. And we haven't really been around the world much on this show. We've had a couple of guys from South Korea join us, but...
We've covered all angles.
Yeah, I think so. We're on top of things. But we're going to head there now. And joining us on the Maple Toyota Hotline, here's our good friend, Gord Miller. What's happening, Gord?
Good morning, Brian, and Jeff, and Jonas. I'm going with Jeff.
I like that. Jeff. Hefe.
Jeff O'Neill.
What about Hefe?
I think that
How
means
about
boss.
Hefe O'Neill. I like that.
Gord, Brian had a hot take earlier saying... I mean, you're over there. There might be a different vibe and a different hype, but as far as over here, do you think anybody will go to Gary Bettman or it'll be brought up like, look, the next Olympics, we need to get these NHL guys back there to help the hype and everything else that goes along with it?
Well, I think they're going, Jeff. I think they're going to Beijing no matter what because of the market. And what I don't understand is why you don't come here because you're a two-hour flight from here to Beijing.
That's kind of was my question is like, okay, you have to go to Beijing, but you have no interest in there.
Right. So basically the distance from here to Beijing is Toronto to Winnipeg. So, you know, look at it this way. I mean, this is an enormous market. South Korea is a big country and there's a lot of excitement about hockey. NHL players here would no question put it right over the top. And, you know, you can have this argument all you want, and I get both sides, but if you're going to Beijing, why wouldn't you be here?
Well, and that was the argument that was made for years. you know, it's complicated. It's a deep conversation in terms of what the NHL was hoping to get out of it. There's always been those kind of details that maybe get glazed over, the battle between the NHL and the IOC when it comes to access to highlights and their own players and insurance money and all that kind of stuff. I just feel like, at least in North America, and obviously it's different than it is in South Korea where you are, there just is not, there's not much buzz, Gord. I'm telling you, man. Like,
is that right? I get it. And so it's really hard, you know, I mean, and I'm working for NBC, so, you know, we get ratings updates, and NBC's ratings have been fantastic. And that's been driven by, you know, a lot of star athletes for them, like, you know, Sean White and others who have won gold medals. And their primary coverage is in prime time, right? So NBC's, you know, big push is in prime time, which makes a lot of sense. It's a funny thing. Like, we've had some half-full buildings here for hockey, which is, you know, you're not used to seeing at the Olympics. I don't understand. I mean, I think the Olympics are great, you know, no matter what. I think the biggest reason the NHL didn't come here is they wanted the World Cup to stand alone. They wanted to give the World Cup a chance to be the only best-on-best tournament for a while. It wasn't a big hit either. And I don't think there's going to be a World Cup in 2020 because the players are probably going to reopen the agreement in 2019, and the owners won't have a World Cup and then have the players locked out right afterwards like they did in 2004. So, you know, the whole thing to me, just the money stuff, Brian, I get what you're saying. They can work that out. They can work out all of those other issues. The bottom line is the NHL.
And goodbye, Gord.
Tell me the NHL or the IOC just cut out Gord's phone.
The wind blew his phone out of his hand.
That's been a big controversy over there.
No kidding.
The wind?
Well, yeah, like skiing and slalom and different events that are really affected by the wind.
They've had to postpone some events because it's nuts.
Mm-hmm. Well, anyway, we'll see if we can get Gord back on. But because I want to get into the women's tournament in Canada beating USA last night and how chippy that affair was and how great that rivalry is. And I'm not saying there isn't buzz for the overall Olympics. I'm just saying comparing and contrasting the men's hockey tournament to that of 4 years ago is drastically different. Like, this morning was a perfect example. I'm as big of a international hockey fan as there is anywhere in the world. I can't get enough of the best players playing the best players. But it's not the best players playing the best players. It's not.
I was quite happy to watch Tampa Bay play Toronto last night.
Right, exactly. And we're coming in here talking about the Leafs. And I think we have Gord back. You got us, Gord?
Yeah. I hear what happened there, you know. Well, long way to call.
Yeah, it's all good. We got you back, but
I heard what you were saying, and I think you lose momentum by not going to the Olympics. I mean, there's a whole bunch of stuff that reason to go, but it didn't happen. So, you know, I can tell you this: there's a lot of players I'm texting with back in North America that are pretty ticked off they're not here.
Well, Gord, doesn't that set up then for the NHL just to have this big bargaining chip now? We'll let you go to the Olympics if you give us shorter contracts, or, you know what I mean?
Like, yeah, I don't think they would ever sign off on that.
Now they have this chip that they can just be like, you want to go to the Olympics?
Yeah, but what's the percentage of players that actually go to the Olympics if
not
you're
many.
Talking about the whole...
But it's the best players.
Yeah, so what?
Yeah, but what's the percentage of players that sign long-term deals? Only the best players.
Yeah, you know what, guys? And I'll be honest with you, and I guess a lot of players don't like when I say this, but I do say this to them. When Bettman said, give us a 3-year extension on the CBA and you can go to the Olympics, I'd have jumped at that. Because I think the players are nuts to reopen this deal. They're going to get slaughtered. They're going to get maximum 5-year contracts. They're going to get restrictions coming out of entry level. There's going to be all kinds of stuff. They're not going to get a better deal than this. I'd have extended the deal by 3 years and gone to the Olympics.
No kidding. What's so bad about the deal? Like, just do it.
Well, the players don't like escrow. But you know... And this year, it's, what, 13.5%? I saw a note from Frank Cervelli. You know, the players have to change their mindset. Your contract's not for $3 million. It's for up to $3 million under optimum circumstances. Mm-hmm. But there's no way to have a 50-50 split without escrow. And I know the players hate it. They have to pay into that pool to equalize it. But the fact of the matter is, they're not going to get a better deal than this.
That's right.
They're really not. And if they reopen this thing, they're going to get hammered.
Well, that's probably where it's going, let's be honest.
Yay, that's going to be fun.
Yeah, that'll be fun. With Gord Miller, who's over in South Korea.
Gord, is there any, like, what's the scout situation over there? Is there any guys that could parlay this Olympics into joining an NHL team, or is that even possible?
Yeah, you know what? We've seen over the last couple of years, guys getting signed out of Europe. Zaitsev would be a good example of that for Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
I think there are some guys in their mid-20s that could get contracts out of this. But I think that, those guys are kind of like college free agents. More don't work out than do. And so I don't know that a lot of them will get, big money deals. But for sure, I think there are some guys over here that are in their mid to late 20s that'll get contracts. But, the one thing I'd say about teams that amazes me is, like, for example, Shipachev, the Russian that came over. He's 30 years old, okay? Doesn't really speak English. No other Russian players. And he's in Las Vegas. That's a pretty tough cultural adjustment. I would say that if you're going to bring over a Russian or a Czech, have more than one. Or have some veteran guys they can be with. And the LA or the Pittsburgh Penguins, traded for Yuri Herdina specifically for him to babysit Yager. And, he was younger. So if you're going to sign a Czech or a Russian or someone like that, make sure they got someone to talk to.
With Gord Miller, who's over in South Korea, the Canada-U.S. women's game last night was pretty much exactly what we expected. It was chippy. These two teams hate each other because they know they're going to play each other for the ultimate prize every single tournament. It happens all the time at the Worlds, all the time at the Olympics. And Canada got bragging rights last night. It doesn't really mean anything because we know they're still going to play each other in the gold medal match, but what did you make of that, and how much does that type of a game and that kind of atmosphere permeate the whole Olympics over in South Korea?
They were sure talked about. I would tell you this, and I say this when NHL players go too, the gold medal and the gold medal game mean a lot more to the women than it does to the men. So the Swedes lose the gold medal game in 2014 in Sochi. They're disappointed, but they move on. They're back in the NHL the next week. For the American women, they're still not over that. Because they put their whole lives on hold for this. They put off careers, they put off family, they put off everything. They are true Olympians. They're full-time Olympians for the four-year cycle. And to win or lose means everything to them. And so you can see that in the level of play. That was nasty. And as you said, that's just a setup game to the gold medal game, really, in all likelihood.
Yeah.
And that was a nasty, bitter contest. So, yeah, I think the intensity of the women's game, the passion of it is the best in hockey because it means everything to them.
Are there any other teams that are even close based on your understanding? And
Finland, maybe.
Yeah.
The Finns beat Canada at the World Championship last year. They gave the Americans a test. I think they'd be the team, yeah. If someone's going to get upset, it would be by the Finns.
Well, and that's the thing. Like, from a selfish standpoint, I love the fact that I can pencil it in. Canada versus the United States gold medal game. It's going to be an awesome game. It always is. But for the women's sport to take off, they need more than just two contenders all the time.
They do, but I would say this. I know, Bodog, we talked about this a while back. I think super teams mm-hmm. are good for sports.
Oh, yeah.
I think the Warriors, I think the Patriots, I think the Yankees, if you want to call them one now, those teams and those rivalries where great teams play each other a lot, those are good for sport. I don't think it's bad that Cleveland and Golden State play each other in the NBA Finals all the time. I think it's great. And, I like seeing, the two best play each other. Now, is it good for women's hockey if it's the same two best all the time? That's another discussion. But the anticipation for a women's gold medal game will be huge here. You could argue that the women's gold medal game might be the hottest hockey ticket of all the Olympics.
I would think so. I mean, you can bank on it. Just based on past history, you know exactly what you're getting out of these two teams.
That'll be next week, or next Wednesday?
Wednesday. Is it our Wednesday, your Tuesday?
It's our Wednesday, your Thursday, I believe.
Our Thursday, your Wednesday, sorry.
Yeah, because it's like 11:30 p.m. Eastern time next Wednesday.
My 13-year-old can keep track of the time difference. I can't.
Well, we've been confused, too. I mean, that's... Yeah, and you knew that going into it. It's the world's event. We can't claim it. It's not like it's our Olympics. You can't have it in the Eastern time zone all the time. But it's kind of frustrating when you do realize that it's in South Korea today or this year, in Japan in 2 years, and then in China in 4 years. Like, the next three Olympics, we're going to be dealing with the exact same issues. And that is frustrating, I think, for a lot of Canadian Olympic fans.
But, that's understandable, but I mean... As you say, we're not the only Olympic fans in the world.
Yeah.
And And the other part of it is, you know, a lot of countries don't want to bid for this. There weren't a lot of bidders for the 2022 Winter Olympics.
No, there weren't. There were like two, I think, and that was what gets forgotten. When they handed this out, it was the economic crash, and no one was touching it. Like, no one wanted that kind of money to be on the books.
Now, these Olympics have been very well organized, pretty well attended. You know, they've looked spectacular. The venues look great. So you can't complain about that.
Well, you know what I've noticed, Gord, is it's the first time I've thought of it. The previous three or four Olympics, there was so much conversation about security and how much was invested in it and all the concerns of terrorism and all of the different things taking place around the games in Sochi, in London. I didn't anticipate any issues. I haven't heard about any conversation revolving around security being a problem. I mean, I'm sure it's different when you're on the grounds. You have to go through security literally to get into every single event, but doesn't seem like that's really that big of a concern, which is a positive.
Well, you know what's interesting, Brian, is the security is not nearly as visible here as it's been at past Olympics. I haven't seen a single soldier carrying a weapon at a venue.
Wow.
I've seen police officers, and there's obviously security, but you've not seen the kind of lockdown with, you know, heavily armed soldiers everywhere that you've seen at other Olympics.
Well, let's hope that continues, and the games continue, and Canada is doing really, really well, and the tournaments continue. So enjoy it over there, Gord, and we really appreciate you getting up early for us.
Thanks, Brian. Thanks, Jeff.
Yeffy.
Don't forget Jonas.
And Jonas. There's Gord Miller joining us on the Maple Toyota Hotline. The Toyota Drive for Gold event is on now. Get great offers on a range of Toyota models during the Winter Games. Visit MapleToyota.com. I can't read this afternoon. I got to stop doing these reads. I think you have to step up here and
I'll do them.
Do all the reads. I have chopped up every single read today.
What's the guy's name again?
Burgundy?
Burgundy. As long as you don't get the San Diego... Let's hear that one, Mulls.
And I'm Ron Burgundy. Go f*** yourself, San Diego.
Yeah, I haven't sworn yet, but I am chopping up everything.
You swore once on this show. You were talking about Phil, too. You're like, Phil and the Penguins, what the... And we looked at you like, Mulls trashed it, but that was your only time.
That's the only time I think I've ever done
it. 5 years.
Yeah. I've been doing radio for 8 or 9 years. I've never sworn. That was the one time. I don't know what happened. Phil Kessel got me so fired up. Dropped an F-bomb.
Oh, well.
Mullen saved me, though. That's why I'm not taking shots at Mullen for the Ron Burgundy moment earlier this afternoon. And that's a read I've done 100 times, and I still chopped it up. So, Hefe O'Neill and Jonas Siegel.
I have something very alarming to show you guys. You're going to have to look it up, though. Do we have time?
Why don't we come back and we'll do that. Richard Griffin will join us from Dunedin on Jaime Garcia being signed by the Blue Jays. He'll be their fifth starter. The Stroman versus the Jays arbitration case and everything that went down on his Twitter account earlier this afternoon. Update on Tulowitzki. John Gibbons, I love it, coming out of spring training. It's like Gibbons doesn't seem overly concerned. He's never overly concerned about anything. You could be like, dude, there's a nuclear attack about to hit, like, right here. And he's like, nah, we'll be all right. It's all good. And I love that about him. I think the team loves that about him, too. He's always laid back. But doesn't seem overly concerned about Tulowitzki and the bone spur.
Yeah, just a bone spur. Going to take it easy on him. He's going to slow down here.
Hasn't even reported yet, and he's just going to take it easy. So Richard Griffin will join us in about 20 minutes. Bob McKenzie in studio at 6:25. Overdrive continues on the TSN Go app. We have a trade to announce.
Oh, go ahead.
The Maple Leafs have made a trade. Nikita Soshnikov to St. Louis for a fourth round pick in 2019.
Me and Nikita have something in common. We were both traded for fourth round picks.
What did yours turn into? Did you ever track that?
I didn't. It was some turd.
Just a plug.
Just
eh?
A plug.
So the Leafs came out on top in that deal.
Really?
Well, you played 2 years, gave him 39 goals. That fourth rounder didn't turn into anything.
Season.
Gotta say 19 on the second one. It was 20 the first one or 20 the second
first
one?
First one, 20 second.
I hate to be a stickler, but...
Or maybe it was the other way around.
Well, your stats, dude. I don't know.
Yeah. Who cares? They're more than yours.
Yeah. I don't have any.
You want to talk about stats? You want to get into something? We'll get into more in the show.
Yeah, we'll do it a little bit later, but the Soshnikov stuff...
Can you please look up Jeff O'Neill on Wikipedia? Because and see if there's any numbers out of balance.
All right, what am I looking for here?
Just can you look and see if there's anything out of balance that doesn't look right?
Oh, yeah. Someone updated your weight.
To what?
300 pounds. Also, 140 kilograms.
They got me as three bills on Wikipedia.
21 stone, 6 pounds. 21 stones. I love that. 300 pounds. Do you think someone at TSN did that?
I don't know who did that. I don't think it's very nice, though.
I think you can change it. Can't you?
Anybody. You can change it right now.
How do I do it?
I don't know.
You're from Richmond Hill? I'm from Richmond Hill.
I'm from King City. It shouldn't say Richmond Hill.
Oh, so I should change that, too.
Yes.
That's uncalled for.
That is uncalled for. As far as Soshnikov goes, Brian, I thought he was kind of a good player. I thought he could have maybe done something next year or...
He's 24, though. He's been here for a couple of years. He never established himself when he did get a chance to play.
I agree. There was just flashes where I'm like, that might be something later on.
Yeah, I think he's a flash in the pan.
What does this mean for Josh Levo now?
Because I think he's probably next to go, to be honest.
Well, no, that cleared the crunch.
But until they make a trade to bring somebody else in.
Yeah.
You know, if you want to bring somebody else in, at some point, Levo's got to go. He's not in the cards.
He signed for another year.
Do you think he's ever going to be a permanent fixture on the Maple Leafs? I don't. They got Matt Martin that they've got to deal with.
It's just time to let him go. Let him go.
Like, Levo's the same age.
Don't Frankie Corrado this kid.
Yeah, he's 23 or 24. He's got to figure out who he is. But I think we know kind of who Soshnikov and Levo probably are. They're depth forwards who can't crack this lineup because the Leafs are loaded with forwards. They're loaded with wingers.
Yeah, but they're also going to lose some players next year. Mm-hmm. And to Jeff's point, like he didn't look great when he played this year with the Leafs. He put up some numbers with the Marlies, but like he looked like someone who could replace Leo Komarov.
Yeah,
just physical, skates well, kills penalties.
But, yeah, maybe. But if you're being pigeonholed into maybe you can take over the role of the fourth line left winger.
Yeah, you're replaceable.
You're a replaceable guy anyway.
Yeah, but now you need someone who's going
to
do that.
But that's the conversation I think we have to have. Okay, if they've decided to move on from Soshnikov, and they had to make a decision because they have too many guys on the roster, they have too many contracts signed.
And he's got to be healthy.
He's got to come off the IR because they played that role earlier in the week, and now we know he's capable of playing. But who has passed him within the organization? Is it Andreas Janssen? Is it Grundstrom, the Swedish kid they took a couple of years ago? We'll get back into this in the next hour. Nikita Soshnikov traded to St. Louis. What does this mean for other moves leading up to the trade? Jay, get you an update on that as well. And Bobby Mack in studio.